Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And God be with you in these troubling times, testing times. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name that you'll be with our brethren, give wisdom, give direction. Lord, let them trust in you completely rather than the arm of flesh which brings a curse. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with our series called Preserved from the Beast. And this is number 26. And we're going to initially call this History Has to Repeat According to God. And this is by yours truly, David Eales. Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 says this, "That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us." So we're, of course, now in a repeat of history. All we have to do is identify who's who. Zedekiah and his apostate leadership and people were in lockdown by Babylon deep state, and Jerusalem was in famine. These lockdowns, I believe, now include those for COVID-19, those losing their jobs for refusing the suicide jabs, those in self-quarantines because they were told that they had tested positive for COVID-19, and martial law coming because of the man-made famine and shutdown of the economy. The Babylonians broke into the city, and when Zedekiah and the leadership with the men of war saw this, they fled the city and were captured. And this equates to the apostate leadership of Christianity in our day. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, "Now these things happened unto them," that is the Jews, "by way of example." And the word example here is actually type or shadow. "And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come." So, what happened to the Jews speaks to us at the end of this age, in types and shadows. Jeremiah 39 and 4 says, "And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them," that is, the Babylonians who had broken in, "then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, through the gate betwixt the two walls. And he went out towards the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes." That's all the new leadership, right? That was going to follow him into their apostasy, no doubt. "And also king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah," took out the leadership of the people, because they were apostates. So we see that the apostate leadership of Christianity is being judged by Babylon deep state. They sent their people to take the vaccine, who are now sickly and dying from it. So what about the famine? The pestilence was proven. Now what about the famine? Because both were used by Babylon to destroy apostate people of God. So those left in the city who had gone through the pestilence, the sword, and the famine were given over to the king of Babylon, which is the deep state. Jeremiah 21:7 says, "And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy." Well, it's no secret that the Satanist leadership of Babylon Deep State has a fierce hatred for Christianity, and especially their leadership. Okay. Apostate Israel, as a type of the apostate church, was taken down by pestilence, sword, and famine. We're going to examine this famine, since the pestilence came true and the sword has come true in some ways. The famine is coming, and that's going to be by our deep state Babylon. "And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. He shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity." So you'll notice that God is saying that this has to happen. And it's because Christian leadership has departed from the Word of God, as we shall see. Jeremiah 32:24 says, "Behold, the mounds, they are come unto the city to take it." This city, Jerusalem, represented the leadership of God's apostate people today. "And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans," or Babylonians, "that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it." Well, we've been seeing it. We've been watching it. We've been prophesying using these same verses from the beginning to say what was going to happen, and it's happening. It's coming to pass before our eyes, just as he says right here. And Jeremiah 42:17, "So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there." Well, we've discovered that this represents the apostates trusting in the arm of the flesh and the world to save them from the deep state, like they did with the vaccine suicide, right? To save them from the deep state pestilence. Well, we see that happen just as we said it would. And now we're looking at the next stage here, the famine. The church swamp is being drained, as God told us it would 5 years ago. They've been discredited, and so on. He goes on to say, "They shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them." So apostate Israel, representing the apostate church, was taken down by famine, pestilence, sword, and fire. Fire was one that's not mentioned here, but it's mentioned in other places, as we are seeing happen, and it's also mentioned in history. Now, we're hearing from insiders who are saying that 3 to 4 weeks of food is needed for provision during this time, because they can see what's happening and they know what's happening, you know. But they may not be giving enough credit to the enemy, okay? But we know that the scriptures have been true, even when they have been wrong, okay? But the supply lines are being destroyed, and they don't come back easily when the enemy is intent on depopulation. They've prepared for it not to come back easily. The truckers are in lockdown, and the farmland is bought up and destroyed by Gates and his kind. And you can watch a linked video here. Bill Gates announces plans to spray chemical clouds into the atmosphere. Okay. And we know what's in those chemical clouds. We've already talked about that. So we can see clearly from this that they are poisoning the soil for trees and crops to fail and, of course, to poison us. Okay. Now, we've got a remedy, we know. And you and I as Christians know this. But a lot of the Christian world does not know this because they're in apostasy. Okay. The deep state has used weather warfare on the farmers and burned the granaries and silos, none of which you'll hear in the deep state news, which is the mainstream media. No shipping is coming in by the ports. Big businesses like Walmart are bringing it in by air. And when the refineries or pipelines go down, we won't have trucking or air shipping. Okay. UN reports that since the lockdowns over the last couple of years, 40 million have died of starvation on top of the other 25 million who starve to death every year. I'll give you a link to that. And a starting point here in the text, I would say at the 41-minute mark and go through the 3-minute mark. The rest of it you probably don't want to waste a whole lot of time on. So here's a revelation. Farming Insider warns the coming food shortages are going to be far worse than we've been told. And this is Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, 131.22. And it was authored by Michael Snyder via themostimportantnews.com. The information that I'm about to share with you is extremely alarming, but I have always endeavored to never sugarcoat things for my readers. Right now, there are shortages of certain items in grocery stores across the United States, and food supplies have gotten very tight all over the globe. I have repeatedly warned that this is just the beginning, but I didn't realize how dire things have already gotten until I received an email from a farming insider that I have corresponded with over the years. I asked him if I could publicly share some of the information that he was sharing with me, and he said that would be okay as long as I kept his name out of it. According to this farming insider, dramatically increased costs for fertilizer will make it impossible for many farmers to profitably plant corn this year. The following is an excerpt from an email that he recently sent me. Quote, things for 2022 are interesting and scary. Input costs for things like fertilizer, liquid nitrogen, and seeds are like triple and quadruple the old prices. You know, the things that they use on crops today causes them to be able to plant their plants very close together and yield an extremely larger crop on the same ground than they used to could. And these are the things that are being shorted here. That's my comment. Continuing, it will not be profitable to plant this year. Let me repeat, the economics will not work. Our plan is to drop about 700 acres of corn off and convert to soybeans because they use less fertilizer and we also have chicken manure from that operation. Guess what? We are not the only ones with those plans. Already there is a shortage of soybean seeds. So we will see how that will work out. The way I see it, there will be a major grain shortage later in the year, especially with corn. I mean, we are small with that. And what about these people in the Midwest who have like 10,000 acres of corn? This will not be good. Once I received that message, I wrote him back with some questions that I had in response, and he expanded on his comments in a subsequent email. Quote, as for farming, I see it getting bad. Things like fertilizer and liquid nitrogen have tripled and quadrupled in price. Yes, commodity prices are up, but that certainly won't cover the new increased input costs. We are in North Carolina, so while certainly not like the Midwest, we still grow grain. The Midwest, of course, will have these same higher input costs as well. Corn, for example, typically takes about 600 pounds of fertilizer per acre, plus 50 gallons of liquid nitrogen. Times that by many acres, and that's a lot of money. Soybeans take much less. The plan for us and most others around here is to drastically cut corn acres and switch to soybeans. Problem is, there is apparently a soybean seed shortage because of others have the same plan as well. And we were lucky enough to pre-buy enough to do it. However, most people, especially younger farmers or farmers where that is all that they do, probably don't have the money to front like that. The way I see it, a corn shortage will come. I guess there could possibly be a glut of soybeans, but remember that could depend on the seed being available. And I guess that there are other alternatives, maybe milo, oats, or barley. Of course, the corn market is much larger. Think animal feed and ethanol. I mean, for animals, soybeans are used too, but it's a mix. What happens to the animal producers who depend on reasonably priced corn? I just don't see how it can end well. I mean, even if we end up with plenty of soybeans, even a glut, then you have a busted market for that. I don't know. There just isn't much history to base any of this on. I just see it hurting both grain farmers and animal farmers, and also translating to more shortages and price increases for consumers who buy the end products. I was stunned when I first read that. Corn is one of the foundational pillars of our food supply. If you go to the grocery store and start reading through the ingredients of various products, you will quickly discover that corn is in just about everything in one form or another. So what is our country going to look like if a severe corn shortage actually happens? I don't even want to think about that. Of course, fertilizer prices are not just going through the roof here in the United States. In South America, high fertilizer prices are going to dramatically affect coffee production. Christina Ribeiro Duvalle, who comes from a long line of coffee growers in Brazil, is this year paying three times what she paid last year for the fertilizer she needs. Coupled with a recent drought that hit her crop hard, it means that Mrs. Duvalle, 75, will produce a fraction of her brand of coffee, some of which is exported. There is also a shortage of fertilizer. This year you pay, then put your name on a waiting list, and the supplier delivers it when he has it, she said. And if you love to drink coffee in the morning, you will soon be paying much more for that privilege. Well, I don't know about you, but I can do without coffee. But there are a lot of things that are being harmed besides coffee. Okay, back to our article here. Over in Africa, fertilizer prices could result in 30 million metric tons less food produced. Fertilizer demands in sub-Saharan Africa could fall 30% in 2022, according to the International Fertilizer Development Center, a global nonprofit organization. That would translate to 30 million metric tons less food produced, which the center says is the equivalent to the food needed of 100 million people. Oh, wow. Lower fertilizer use will inevitably weigh on food production and quality, affecting food availability, rural incomes, and the livelihoods of the poor, said Joseph Schmidhuber, deputy director of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization's Trade and Markets Division. Where in the world are we going to get enough food to replace the food needed of 100 million people? This is beyond serious. Basically, the stage is being set for the sort of historic global crisis that I have been relentlessly warning about. Many Americans had assumed that even if the rest of the world was suffering, that we would be immune. But now there are widespread shortages all over the nation, and the Wall Street Journal just published a major article entitled U.S. Food Supply is Under Pressure, From Plants to Store Shelves. Mm-hmm. This is really happening. In Washington, D.C., residents are being instructed to, quote, just buy what you need and leave some for others, unquote. Or, quote, if you're hitting the grocery store to prepare for winter weather, please just buy what you need and leave some for others. You may have noticed empty shelves in some stores due to national supply chain issues, but there is no need to buy more than you normally would, unquote. What do they know? What would have been unimaginable just a few years ago is now making headlines on a daily basis. Of course, it isn't just our food supply that's under threat. As Victor Davis Hanson has aptly noted, our country is now in the process of undergoing a systems collapse. Yes, it is. In modern times, as in ancient Rome, several nations have suffered a systems collapse. The term describes the sudden inability of once prosperous populations to continue with what had ensured the good life as they knew it. Abruptly, the population cannot buy or even find once plentiful necessities. They feel their streets are unsafe. Laws go unenforced or are enforced unequivocally. Every day, things stop working. The government turns from reliable to capricious, if not hostile. A lot of people are going to be caught off guard by the pace of change. Things are shifting so rapidly that it really is hard to keep up with unless you are paying very close attention. Now that you have been exposed to the information in this article, please don't go back to sleep. This is not a drill. We really are heading into a nightmare scenario, and I strongly urge you to act accordingly. Well, my thought on this is if you understand what is going on, confess your sins and go to God by faith and believe His word. This is going to be something you can depend upon. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, of course, that word right there does you no good whatsoever unless you believe it by faith, right? And Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them." Literally, the word is received them because it happened at the cross. and you shall have them. The words of Jesus Christ. So, if you've been taught not to believe such words, you and your teacher are apostates, meaning fallen away from God's word. So, you must repent and believe. We see that the apostates, from what I've read earlier, are the ones that are in the most danger. Now, God's made provision for the faithful, the bride, who are beautiful to God because they're faithful to His word, are not among the apostates, and they will escape. We just got these verses in our morning meeting, Isaiah 61:6. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. You know what it is, what it means for them to be in their land? If they're in their promised land, it represents standing on the promises, where all provision is supplied. It goes on to say, everlasting joy shall be unto them, for I, the Lord, love justice, I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth. Listen, if you've got the truth, you will get this wonderful recompense from God. He will pay you back for what all the wicked world has done. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. The covenant is with the people who believe the word of God, not the ones who've been talked out of it by a bunch of apostate preachers and religions. Psalm 132:13-15, we also received. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. One of the cures for famine is here. And it applies whether you are in feast or famine, meaning God's promises don't apply only when things are very materially blessed. They're even in famine. In fact, that's when you need them the most. 2 Corinthians 9:7-13 says, listen carefully. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, not under the law. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And listen to this promise for a person who is a giving person to those around him or to the kingdom. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work. As it is written, He hath scattered abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness abideth forever. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So there's a double provision there, both for your body, your family, your righteousness, etc. You're accounted righteous through your faith, right? Walk by faith in the promises of God. Forget religion. 11. Ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service is not only filleth up the measure of the wants of the saints, but aboundeth also through many thanksgivings unto God, seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration they glorify God for the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution unto them and unto all. What a powerful promise, one of the most powerful in the Bible, just for a person meeting the needs of others around them. Well, as we saw, Babylon destroyed the apostates by famine and by pestilence. So we've looked at the famine, and it's obvious to anybody that's watching, they know it's on the way. And so I'd like to update now our knowledge of the pestilence. Okay, here's a couple of clips from Operation Disclosure. Chinese scientists have developed a deadly coronavirus called NeoCov, capable of giving a mortality rate of 34% compared to 1.6% for COVID-19. Did you hear that? It was described in a scientific article dated January the 25th, 2022, published by Chinese scientists from Wuhan University, the same bunch. Okay, I'll put you a link here. So, NeoCov is a member of a group of coronaviruses, one of which caused an outbreak of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, in 2012, which killed 34% of the approximately 2,500 people infected with it. And according to the Chinese authors, NeoCov binds not only to the bat DPP4 receptor found in most MERS coronaviruses, but also weakly binds to ACE2, which is a human receptor for the highly transmissive COVID-19 virus. Similar to the laboratory creation of COVID-19, Chinese scientists have again taken a coronavirus found in nature and artificially manipulated its structure to infect people. But now with a virus capable of giving a mortality rate of 34% compared to 1.6% for COVID-19, it is becoming obvious that China is using the threat of a new viral disease as a cover for its biological warfare program. The recent January 2021 is alarming and indicative for the development of biological weapons, the interest shown by Chinese scientists in the furin cleavage site NeoCov. Okay, there's more to it. I'll put you a link here so you can read the whole thing if you'd like. Let me say, if you are in fear and driven towards the next vaccine suicide, try God instead. So many stubborn people have heard our warnings and ignored them to their own detriment, and in some cases their death. And the death rate is going to go up, 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 up. Jesus is still the same, and he heals all who come to him by repentance and faith. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you do not believe this, you are an apostate and are in danger. Read Revelations. A large portion of the earth will die from these things shortly. In fact, I believe the death rate from the vaccination is going to go right through the book of Revelation. It's going to continue to kill people. Romans 1:17 says, therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. Jesus bore your sin and its curse. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed." Healing is not something that you have to plead God for. It's something you have to receive as a free gift, just like salvation. "By whose stripes you were already healed." So, don't be an apostate. Learn about your biblical provision for health in God's vaccine book, which I'll put you a link right here for it. It's very simple. It comes straight out of the Word of God. Well, here's an article I'd like you to pay attention to. Monkeys loosed in Pennsylvania truck crash were diseased, being brought to CDC-approved quarantine. This is Nation News Desk, January the 23rd, 2022. Now, let me just say, this scenario could have easily been used to release diseases in the midst of our nation. However, it is at least a warning from the deep state to the alliance that it would be an easy thing to do. So back off. And I believe the alliance is collecting and jailing and executing some of these mass murderers right now. And they've been threatened with one thing after another to back off. And I believe this is one of them. Not that it will necessarily bring forth a disease. It may. It could easily do that. But is at least a threat. Back off. See, we can do this. So, a truck crash in Pennsylvania last week made news when some of its cargo, monkeys who got loose after the crash, and now we find out that the monkeys were diseased and being brought to a CDC-approved quarantine facility when they got loose. CDC is deep state, folks. Okay. The last of the escaped monkeys from the crash of a truck towing a trailer load of 100 of the animals was accounted for by late Saturday, a day after the pickup collided with a dump truck on a Pennsylvania highway, authorities said. And they have a picture here of that wreck. Several monkeys had escaped following Friday's collision, Pennsylvania State Police said, but only one had remained unaccounted for as of Saturday morning, prompting the Pennsylvania Game Commission and other agencies to launch a search for it amid frigid weather. Kristen Nordland, a spokesperson with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said in an email Saturday evening that all 100 of the Cynomolgus macaque monkeys had since been accounted for. Three were dead after being euthanized. The email did not elaborate on why the three were euthanized or how all came to be accounted for, but Nordland said those euthanized were done so humanely according to American Veterinary Medical Association guidelines. The shipment of monkeys was en route to a CDC-approved quarantine facility after arriving Friday morning at New York's Kennedy Airport from Mauritius, in an Indian Ocean island nation, police said. The Atlanta-based CDC said the agency was providing technical assistance to state police in Pennsylvania. The collision occurred Friday on a state highway near an Interstate 80 exit in Pennsylvania's Montour County, Trooper Andrea Pelichick told the Daily Item newspaper of Sunbury. The location of the quarantine facility and the type of research for which the monkeys were apparently destined weren't clear, but Cynomolgus monkeys are often used in medical studies. In a 2015 paper posted on the website of the National Center for Biotechnology Information, referred to them as the most widely used primate in preclinical toxicology studies. Okay, comment here by Hal Turner. He said, So now what? What other animals did those monkeys interact with while they were loose? What diseases were they being quarantined for? And what did they spread while they were out? Is this the start of a new outbreak of yet another disease the world will have to battle? Didn't they make a horror movie, 12 Monkeys, about a similar thing? They always announce to you what they're going to do ahead of time, by the way. If you start to hear about an outbreak of some new disease in Pennsylvania that has scientists and doctors baffled, quote unquote, you will know where it came from. What none of us know yet is what diseases these monkeys had that they were going to quarantine. God help us all if it was something like Ebola. Well, locals are being told to watch for cold symptoms. And by the way, Ebola has already been found in China. That's where this stuff has been coming from. Okay. This loose monkey business can provide a cover story accident for the deliberate release of a smallpox or hemorrhagic fever in the United States as some accident. Gordon Bornman sent this to us. Here's a trailer for the movie Outbreak. It definitely is a psyop and predictive programming for escaped lab monkeys that start a worldwide human plague. And the link is here. And remember when Bill Gates said on TV that the next pandemic would get people's attention? How does he know all this? He's trying to make himself into some kind of prophet, you know. But he always predicts, especially this kind of stuff, because he's in the foundation of all of it. So this article, next pandemic will get attention. Video clip from Smirking Bill and Melinda Gates draws ire online. And this is by Parwinder Sandhu, 71020. A video clip showing Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates and Melinda Gates smirking while talking about a second wave of the pandemic has gone viral on Twitter. The clip shared widely by those opposing Gates has given rise to yet another set of conspiracy theories related to the power couple. Since the outbreak of the global pandemic, both Bill and Melinda have been constantly targeted by anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists regarding their association with vaccine programs. Rightly so. So, what caused the uproar? The couple, who are also the founders of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, appeared during the special edition of Part Forward series by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. Gates, who is quite vocal about vaccination against COVID-19 and failure of the government in handling the pandemic, said that this will not be the last pandemic that we face. Well, they're trying to make sure of it. Stating that there was a reason to be prepared, Gates said, "We didn't actually do the simulation to think about nursing homes, getting factories ready, the testing regime. In fact, the testing was ramped up very quickly in a few countries that have almost avoided the epidemic entirely, like Taiwan, New Zealand, and Australia. They took their experience, prepared, and moved a lot faster." Well, what he talks about preparing is, of course, the vaccines. So this is a clear deception. Yeah. Okay, reading on. It was then that Gates looked at Melinda and smiled, saying, "We'll have to prepare for the next one. That will get attention this time," unquote. Ooh. The couple broke into a smile that was soon given a tint of a conspiracy by citizens. Well, here's a link to the whole thing. Okay. And back to the monkey thing. Of the woman who came in contact with the escaped lab monkey is showing potential signs of infection. And this is by Cassie B., 12522. Natural News. When a truck that was carrying 100 lab monkeys crashed in Pennsylvania, the public was warned not to approach any of the missing primates who were being transported to a quarantine facility after arriving in the country from Mauritius. It, however, one woman who may not have heard the warning and stopped to help has developed symptoms such as a cough and pink eye after one of the monkeys hissed in her face. Michelle Fallon had been driving directly behind the vehicle when the crash took place at the intersections of State Route 54, and Interstate 80 near Danville. Animal crates were thrown all over the highway, and some of them were smashed. Four of the monkeys escaped and went on the run, with one of them remaining missing well into the next day. Troopers were seen searching for the monkeys with rifles, while firefighters used thermal imaging to help locate the animals. While the monkey was missing, state police sent out a warning saying that anyone who sees or locates the missing monkey should not approach it or come into contact with it or attempt to catch it, and should instead call 911 right away. However, the danger wasn't immediately obvious in the moments following the accidents when Fallon stopped to help. She has now developed symptoms of pink eye and a cough and is concerned because she was close to the monkeys, touching their crates, and walking through their feces. She got out of her car to help the driver and the animals, which she at first believed were cats. And when she approached one and placed her hand on the cage, the macaque hissed at her. She also had an open cut at that time. Fallon has been given the first of four rabies injections as well as antiviral drugs and is monitoring for symptoms of rabies and monkey herpes virus B. Although monkey herpes virus B is rare, it can lead to severe brain damage and even death if not treated immediately. Infection can occur when a person is bitten or scratched by an infected macaque monkey or has close contact with the monkey's nose, mouth, or eyes. And here's a Band TV. It said, "Did the CDC start a new pandemic in Pennsylvania?" Okay. Well, I believe this was at least a warning from the deep state to the alliance, who seemed to have backed away from some immediate plans that we were told of. And we also have a dream warning of Bill Gates spiritually being in our midst with his graphene oxide. This warns us to pray this down for the saints and the loved ones, of course. So we're asking everybody to do that. Because they're putting this graphene oxide in everything they can. I'm talking about the deep state. Everything they can. And they're finding it in a lot of food and water and drinks and stuff. So, here's the dream. Bill Gates trying to rape God's elect. Winnie Asagueta, 12422. I had recently prayed for a dream of something that would help the body that we can pray about, and this is what the Father gave me. I dreamt that I was at a local house. It was then time for our meeting to start, and Bill Gates was there. Well, Bill Gates represents the evil plans of the beast against the saints of God through injectable computing systems in the vaccines, as well as using 5G and cell phones and other devices to distract and control people. This was so real, I could see him as clear as day. He was sitting on the couch where Chuck and I normally sit, but all the way at the other end next to the end table, which is next to where Michael sits on Wednesdays. The end table is a play on words, I believe, and indicates not only the end game that the deep state elites are playing out, but also the Lord's end game that he has ultimate sovereignty over. And as Chuck and I went to sit down, we were wondering why Bill Gates was sitting there. But we sat down anyway, and it was kind of tight, and we were uncomfortable. And I think there were a couple of other UBM people on the couch with us. The deep state agenda and vaccine mandates and passports have been putting the squeeze on many and causing them to make destructive choices in order to stay and participate in Babylon and Egypt, right? And this is crazy. I mean, what's going to happen when the mark of the beast, this is experimentation with the mark of the beast, by the way. When the physical mark does come and people might lose their jobs if they don't buy into it. They're showing you what they're going to do right here. We are observing what people will do to hold on to their jobs, including take a vaccine that they've been told by so many is a death penalty. So we all looked at each other and said, don't tell him we didn't get vaccinated. Because we didn't, of course. Unfortunately, he already knows. I then noticed that he had two metallic stones that resembled magnets in his hand that he put down on a table that suddenly appeared in front of him. So we know it's all spiritual, but anyway. When I told a friend about this dream, sent me a picture of what graphene oxide stones look like, and it was what Bill Gates was holding in his hands, color and all, except in my dream they looked more magnetic. I don't know how things look more magnetic, but okay. But there is a link here to this, graphene and graphene oxide basics. Okay, they'll let you know what this stuff is and why they are trying to depopulate the world, okay? At some point, as I was sitting on the same couch opposite of Bill Gates, I looked to my left and I saw a young sister walk in with a little toddler girl that was her daughter. In the dream, I knew that the young lady was generally a good mother, but I could see that she was very distracted. She sat the little girl down, and then she reclined and began to watch some videos on her phone. Well, the distractions of the enemy and their devices, I believe, will cause us to neglect these warnings and neglect our spiritual fruit, which is the new born-again man. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right. So don't get distracted. The most important thing in these days is to be full of the Word of God and believe it. And that's something that most of the denominations lack greatly. I then got up from my seat and I had two very tiny aborted or miscarried babies in my hands. One of the babies was no longer alive, and I was trying to bring it back to life. And then I woke up. Well, we know in the natural, babies are clearly being aborted by these vaccines. And matter of fact, I read stories about all of the women who were pregnant lost their babies if they had been in such and such a stage of the vaccines. So the vaccines are doing it. Spiritually, our fruit will be aborted and lost if we don't succeed in overcoming the temptations to give in to our flesh nature. We need the Word of God to feed our spiritual man. When I woke up, I asked the Lord if I'm supposed to share this dream, and I received by faith at random Proverbs 30 and 16. And we're going to read 15 and 16 for context. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, "Give, give." There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four that say, "Not enough." Sheol and the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire that saith, "Not enough." Well, the flesh is never satisfied and will never have enough. If we keep giving it what it wants, it will always demand more and more until we have lost the battle and many eternal rewards that we could have had for our obedience. Our positions could be given to others as we lose our crowns. The Apostle Paul said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. My eyes were also drawn to the book Destructive Demon Doctrines. And so I opened it by faith and landed on the following sentences on page 123. Quote, "Abraham didn't waver through unbelief. Instead, he waxed strong in his faith, giving glory to God. He believed God was able to do this because God promised it. God has made these same awesome promises to us. He's able to do it. We are not able to do it." I then knew I had to share this dream so that we can pray against this being that they have been spraying to make people sick, among other things, and spraying their oxides out there. I don't really ever think about Bill Gates or follow much regarding the vaccines anymore in terms of side effects and what is in it, etc. So I know the Lord is saying something to his people in this dream. I asked for a verse by faith at random, and I received Leviticus 26:43, reading 40 through 45 in context. "And they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and also that because they walked contrary unto me, I also walked contrary unto them, and brought them into the land of their enemies." That's why they were taken into bondage to Babylon deep state, right? Is because they rebelled against the word. "If then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left by them, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths, while it lieth desolate without them, as it did." And by the way, the promised land is desolate compared to most of Christianity. They don't know about the promises. They only know what their church teaches. And they don't stand on the promises, and they don't walk by faith, and are not accounted righteous because of their faith. "And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they have rejected mine ordinances, and their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all of that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly. and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So she said, I read the entire chapter of Leviticus 26, and I thought this could be a warning to remain in Him and be repentant of anything the Lord is showing us, so that we would be overtaken by the enemy, wouldn't be overtaken by the enemy in any form. Amen. So Luke 8:9-10 says, and his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Oh, so it behooves Christians right now to get back to the Word of God and be obedient and walk by faith in the promises to escape these things. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right, good night, saints. God bless you.